The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, and can be found on page 1174 of the Church Bibles. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now Stuart will come and give us part one of his sermon.
Thank you so much for reading that to us. It's a wonderful passage. I'll say a few things about it later. But it's great to be here today. It's lovely to stand in front of so many wonderful people. Some of you who may remember me, I'm surprised that you're here. But it's lovely having this time. Yesterday we were just sharing stories. Yes, I arrived in 1981, very appropriately to 181. So it was obviously heavenly designed. And I did look like that once. We all change, don't we? We like to think we don't, and people say, you haven't changed at all, they're telling lies, you know that. But it's good that we can remember the past, and it's good that we can look forward to a future. I retired now, so I'm really old and decrepit, very last century. And actually there was a story about a retired church leader. The people got together to buy a beautiful small an engraved plaque. You probably know this story. It said how much they appreciated his leadership, and at the bottom of the plaque they said to engrave a scriptural reference. The intended was 1 Thessalonians 1:3. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. But the engraver made a mistake. Instead of 1 Thessalonians 1:3, it was 1 Thessalonians 3:1, which read, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens." I'm sure that is the case. Whenever a clergy has left here, everyone has been very, very thankful. But the church is about people. It's not just leaders, it's people that matter. And certainly when I came to Emmanuel, I had a sort of vision for what the church should be like. And to me, people mattered. Jesus matters most, but people matter. That was an article that came in the church paper, in the local Kingston paper, in 1985, the Jubilee year. The church with a bright spirit. An interesting article. But to me, a vision for the church was to be a people coming together in worship, relevant worship, people caught up with that worship, coming around the Lord's table, sharing communion together, open to the Spirit, and everybody having a part to play. And people need to discover Jesus, and to me that was what mattered. How do we proclaim Christ? How do we experience Christ? How can we know Christ, which was Paul's prayer? And I'm sure those of you who have been part of the past, who are here coming back, will have memories. And so yesterday we were sharing some of our memories, and pictures and photographs tell us some of those memories of the past. And there have been some great times. There's a picture here of one particular time in Dave and Jenny's garden. There was a Pathfinders, they had a real water fight there. But there was lots of good memories that people had. You may recognise some of those young people who may be here today, or may not be, because anyway. But we had some fantastic times. I mean, we used to lead a Pathfinder camps from here, off in other places. And it was lovely that people discovered Christ here. You will have your memories. But we all passed the baton on. I left, people carried on, other people have come, other people have gone. And we all need to pass the baton on to somebody else. And Emmanuel is in a new season here. You are in a new season. Emmanuel is here. Emmanuel, very appropriate. I'm sure it would cause so much confusion, though. But it's a new season of discovery. And Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is a very appropriate, because he wants them to know God's love. Now, we all have a story. You have your stories, I have mine. When I was 12, that's when I became a Christian up back in York. I never fully understood what it was all about, but bit by bit I discovered Jesus, what it meant for me, and what it meant in terms of a call to serve him. Eventually I was ordained, 1977, eventually came here. I came as a curate here, young, naive, made mistakes, probably. I'm sure other people noticed them. But I was enthusiastic, still am enthusiastic, but not so energetic. But people, part of the, so we shared our stories together here. And one of the things I discovered is that being a Christian isn't easy. Being a Christian leader is definitely not easy, because things happen. Things go on. You discover God working, but you also discover things that are uncomfortable. I mean, I was told even before I came here, for those who don't know secrets, that, oh, there will be some division at Emmanuel. I thought, oh, that's interesting. And it was over the charismatic things at that time. I was very keen, open, see what happens. But some of those caused problems. And other things caused problems. Some of the things that I did caused problems, because I changed things. I don't know if you remember my first ever sermon. No, I don't either. But my first sermon, the theme was, change is here to stay. I don't know if you remember that. Change is here to stay. Now, I never realised that that particular title would be as awkward for me as for everybody else, because we wrestle with changes. We wrestle with the fact that we change, people change, situations change, everything changes. And we have to work that out. But one thing doesn't change, Jesus. And he is with us all the way through. And pain is something we have to wrestle with. And I know there's pain in the church here. And pain is something that we can't push away. We have to face it. And we have to recognise what caused the pain and how we can come through those pains. I have cried. I cried here at various points. I remember once going into some woods and shouting at God and telling him he made an awful mistake. I was very angry with him, because that was part of my prayers. I remember my second next church at St. Philip's in Cambridge. We went through a difficult time, and I remember going on a retreat, and basically I cried all the way through that long. It was a silent retreat, 8 days, but I wasn't quiet. I was crying because of pain. Leadership isn't easy. Being a Christian, following Jesus, isn't easy. Jesus suffered. We will. But the Father that we love knows our hurts. And he knows where we come from. And it's because he's our Father, he loves us. And he recognises what we go through. And we learn through the things that are difficult. And we are all learning, and we never stop. Even as we get older, the more older you get, the less you know, I've discovered. That's why it's good to have young people, because they can get on and do stuff without worrying about anything. So encourage the young people. And Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, who were not perfect. He planted churches, and he suffered, and the churches he went through difficult times. Paul suffered beatings, stoning, slander, arrests. And the churches had difficulties, infighting, and even in those days, false accusations, poverty, sexual failings, and factions. Why? Because like then, as today, they were human. They're just human like we are. And yet one difference is they knew Jesus. And they knew that he would carry them through. And when Paul writes to the Ephesians, he is praying for them. He is praying for them that they may know that love. Paul's primary focus is not about all the challenges that they may face. And he doesn't raise some of those things, even though he sometimes faces those. But his prayer here is that he wants them to know his love, a deepening relationship with God. That is the bottom line. That's what matters. And this beautiful letter, which is upon the screen, which Betty read so well, is a prayer for us today. And as you read it and just think about it, just take it as a prayer for you. That you, with power through his Spirit, and it is the Spirit of God within you, which stirs us up to recognize who is Jesus and how we can come to him and experience him and follow him. It's a powerful thing, though it's not always powerful in terms of dynamic experience, sometimes very deeply painful. But that we might be filled, that phrase, that we might be filled with his love, filled with his love. And to grasp how big that love is, how wide, how deep, how high. And it's interesting, it's not three-dimensional love, it's a four-dimensional love. Bigger, wider than anything we could ever know. The love of Jesus. And as we experience that, we understand more about what it means then to love each other. Because he says we'll only know that with all the saints, that phrase, with all the saints. As if we need each other. We need each other to know and recognize that love. Emmanuel is a place where many you here have discovered that love. You have done it in other places as well. And it's because there have been other people you've interacted with and they have helped you. We have helped each other. And we are thankful, deeply thankful for that. But it says how much we need each other to be filled with his presence. So as I finish this part, it's really to recognize Jesus loves you. No matter what happens, where you are, he loves you and he's with you and he won't leave you. One thing to always leave, which I'll repeat in the next bit, you are much loved, deeply loved. Just have a moment, just to be still, just take that in for a moment. Lord, may our grasp of your love be deepened within us and together. Amen.
Our second reading is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. It's on page 30 in the Church Bibles. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran, When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Pat, very much. I want you to picture somebody, there's a picture coming up, using a metal detector on the beach. Because the question is, what are you searching for? Just picture this. You've probably either used one or seen somebody with a metal detector. They're searching for something lost or unseen, something they hope to find. The detector begins to start beeping, and they pause, they hover over at that moment, and they'll dig in. They're searching for something, and the thing's searching for a connection. A connection exists. And we're a bit like that. We go through our days, our life, searching backwards and forwards, scanning for something. Something that will... we're not sure what we're searching for. But we hope we'll find it, otherwise we wouldn't be searching. We have senses, and our senses tune in to the point where a connection is made. And that connection which we're looking for and often are not aware is God. Jacob knew about God, but he hadn't found him. He was on a journey, and he lay down to sleep and stupidly found a rock for a pillar. I think it was most uncomfortable. I've slept on the hard ground camping, and that's bad enough. And now I'm old, I would never do that. But he slept on the ground with his head on a pillow. It shows he was young. And not surprisingly, he has a dream. I mean, who wouldn't dream when you have head on a pillow like that? Anyway, he dreams of a stairway going up to heaven. Angels descending and descending. From the top of the stairs, God speaks to Jacob, and he promises him his blessing. He said he would be with him on the journey. And when he wakes up, Jacob's astonished. He says, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. I didn't know. But he now knew that God was with him. And he does this strange thing. He turns his pillar into a pillow. And he sets it up as a reminder of God meeting him in this place. God was with him. And yet God had already been with him. He was always with him. But this was a moment when he became aware. Knowing someone is there for you is so important, isn't it, really? There's a man who was awoken one evening to discover some prowlers in his storage shed. And so he immediately called for the police and gave his address to report the prowlers and possible burglary. The operator at the other end said, are they in the house? He said, no, they're out in the storage shed in the back of the house. The operator then said, I'm sorry, there's no cars available at this time. He thanked the operator, hung up on the phone, and then he counted up to 30 and he called again. He said, I just called you about the prowlers in my storage shed. You don't have to worry about coming now. I've just shot them all. They're all dead. Within minutes, three police cars, an ambulance and a fire engine arrive at the scene. After capturing the prowlers red-handed, the policeman asked the caller, I thought you said that you'd shot them all. The man answered, I thought you said there were no police available. And we sometimes think God's there, but he's not available. But he is. He's always there for us. He's always here for us. And that's the message of Jesus. That's the message of the stairway. Jesus came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. He is the God who is with us. That's Emmanuel. That's the church here. Might be also be the new vicar here. God is with us. God is here. And what we say God is in this place. That's what Jacob said. God is in this place. And he made the place important. And this building, it may not be that important, but it is. Because why have you come here today? Because in some way, you can recount a story of being here in the past. And you have met Jesus in some way. There's been a connection. And you will have stories that you can recall. And we were talking about some yesterday on the conversations, and I'm sure there will be later on. Because those stories, our stories, your story, is part of who God is with us. It's where the connection is made. And one of my prayers for this weekend will be is to recall those stories and then think, what does that mean for us going on? Like Jacob, like the metal detector, we could all reach out and find God. We can all reach out and find him. He's not far from any one of us. That's what Paul says. He's not far away. For some here, you may not have quite connected with God yet, Jesus. And today is another opportunity, because like every day is, an opportunity just to connect with God, Jesus, who loves you. And to recall, what are those times you sensed him there, but today's a new place to recall him. He is near. I had a conversation with Brian, wherever he's gone. Brian. And something he just said yesterday, which I didn't know. He said he'd been coming to church for some time. Maybe you should tell this story, Brian. But he said he'd been coming for some time to the church, but there was a point sometime when I was here, and he said it suddenly made sense that it came about. And I thought, it's that connection, isn't it? And we can have a story that we need to share with each other, because we encourage each other by telling us each other how God met us not just about the fun times, which there are a lot of fun times, but what was it? There's a stairway to heaven here, in this place. There's a stairway. For many of you here, you'll go back to other churches and other places, like I will, and we will have to do it the same in those places and discover that God is with us. So I've got a couple of questions. Now, the questions are very simple. How can you tune your heart to God's presence? How can you discover his love today? The fact is here. How can you allow that reality to sink in deep to inside you? And the second question, what new thing is the Lord leading you into? What's the new thing that God is going to guide you into? Is that here in some way? Coming back? Discovering Christ today? Following on? Are there discussions and conversations to have with somebody to work out what that is? Both those questions are very simple, but if we can apply them to ourselves and talk about them together, we discover God with us. God is here. He loves me. And there is still something that he wants me to do. What is it? And my last challenge is, will you offer yourself to the Lord today? So let me pray as we turn our hearts to the Lord. I'm going to use the prayer again from Ephesians as a prayer for you. And just pray in your heart for each other, but particularly for yourself, that you may take this prayer and say, yes, thank you, Lord. Paul prays. I pray. I pray that out of the glorious riches of the Father, that the Father may strengthen you with power, power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray that Christ Jesus may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have that power, together with all God's holy people here and those we worship with, that we may have power with them to grasp how wide and long, how high and deep is your love, the love of Christ. That I may know, truly know, deep within me, to know deep within us this love, a love that surpasses all knowledge. That you may be filled, that you may be filled even now to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work with us, yes, a power work at work with us. To him be the glory in you, the church, and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. God is with you. You are much loved.